You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I'm going to start taking a lot of steps here. And I don't really know where this is all going to go. And then at the end of the trail, you're like, man, I see all the pieces fit together. Man, that was crazy when XYZ happened, but I figured it out, right? And just knowing that you will figure it out is, I think, one of the best things you can ever do for yourself.
Finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my baby business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey to $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to Season 2 of Sales Funnel Radio.
Hey, how you guys doing? What's up, Sales Funnel Radio? Hey, it's like, I woke up at, anyone else like wake up at like 4 a.m. every once in a while? Or I know some of you guys do wake up at 4 a.m. I don't really have a great routine for sleep because sometimes I'm like, oh, second wind, you know, and I have all these epiphanies late in the night, but then all the exact opposite is true. So I don't know. I haven't figured that part of my life out yet, but seems like once a quarter, I'll just wake up in the middle of the night, you know, 3 o'clock, ping or something like that. And just, I can't go back to bed. My brain starts thinking and then I just, and I'll have really cool epiphanies like that. But it's also frustrating. During Funnel Hacking Live, that happened to me, and I only slept 4 hours each night of Funnel Hacking Live. Not by choice. Like, not by choice, and for a lot of reasons. But one of those instances happened during Funnel Hacking Live, I think the night after I spoke, and just freaking exhausted. I don't know what that is. Anyway, well, they happen more frequently now, though, and it seems like once a month this happens. So I am in the middle of the Inner Circle week. I joined Category Kings, which is super cool. And I got to tell you, it is awesome. Like, it's awesome. It is so, not that like I expected anything different, I guess, but I didn't think it'd be like, holy crap. Like, my gosh, it has been those 2 days. It was Tuesday, Wednesday. Those 2 days are the most business and marketing feast, mental feast that I've gotten in probably 2 years. And then, so it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, immediately after is Inner Circle. And I was asked to be a facilitator. So I'm a facilitator of Inner Circle. And it's been, oh my gosh, just like equally as epic. I mean, they're different. They're clearly different. And it's kind of cool because I've been keeping track of kind of like the themes of questions and problems that both groups are kind of running into. And it's fascinating how they really are different. And the types of problems that Category Kings are trying to solve are definitely different problems. And I bring that up for a point that I did not start this podcast for, but I will get into the real topic in a second. It was cool because I was able to just reaffirm the notion that, you know, if you're just starting out, don't try to solve Category Kings level problems. You know what I mean? Like, not all problems are worth solving. Solve the ones in front of you, and then when you get further down the road, finally care about the one. You know what I mean? Care about the problems in the order you're experiencing them. Otherwise, you end up like learning eternally because you're like, I gotta know everything for that trip down the road. But the road changes so much by the time you get there. It's kind of frivolous. It's focused on action and action taking. Hey, I wanted to give you guys a really cool, I don't know, just a super good lesson that I just have been getting. I know I'm going to do several podcast episodes on the things I've learned in the last few days. It's Friday morning. I woke up at, I think, 3 and then at 4 and then at 5. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm just up. I got to go do another day of facilitating, but I'm just awake. And I think it's just because this is like the first time in a while that I've been so excited about what I know I'm going to go continue to work on and implement in our company and clean from the company. And, you know, a lot of times you get addition by subtraction. So you're not always trying to add stuff to the company. You're trying to remove, you know what I mean? Trying to go the other way. So one of those like wake up and never go back to bed moments happened again today, as I just said. And a lot of it was just stirring on these ideas and these thoughts. And that's how I know a lot of times that I'm like going through some big breakthrough. And they usually happen over, you know, weeks. They usually happen over like months and stuff like that. And even years, you know, breakthroughs can take some serious time to get through. So I'm in my garage because it's so early and I don't want to make a lot of people still, you know, sleeping. So, but I'm in the garage and this light is flickering like crazy and it's just super creepy. It's Halloween time. Anyway, so I can tell I've been going through this like big breakthrough. It's like I can tell I'm going through it when I'm like dreaming a lot about it. And I'm dreaming, and I used to dream in the ClickFunnels editor. Or the first time I learned about marketing and internet marketing in general, and ClickFunnels wasn't around yet, I was definitely dreaming in like affiliate bridge pages. Man, I'm such a freaking nerd. Like, but it's true though, you know? And I know that this is you're listening to something called Sales Funnel Radio. You definitely have probably done something similar, if not, you know, something like that. So, all right. Enough rambling. About a year ago, I was telling Russell, I was like, hey man, like, what kind of continuity do you see me doing? And he's like, you know, I've had this really epic software idea for about 3 years and it's expanded, it's clarified, it's gone, you know, and it's a big project, man. I haven't kicked it off yet. I've worked through the ideas on it. I've been in boring meetings and brain dumps on it. I've spent a lot of time just kind of in the backlogs of my noggin, just kind of mulling on this idea. And I shared it with him and he's like, that's a sick idea, but it's kind of like building ClickFunnels, your first software idea. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, do you know that ClickFunnels was like my 30th software? I was like, what? Have you ever told it to anyone? He goes, well, I don't know. I said, I think it's an important detail for everybody to understand. And he goes, and I wasn't planning on sharing this story. It just popped in my head when it's starting this episode here. And he goes, yeah, yeah. ClickFunnels was like my 30th. I think he said like his 34th, 35th software, which I thought was interesting because I went through 34 failures before one thing worked. So something about the 30s. I don't know. And so he kind of dissuaded me a little bit from the idea in terms of like, hey, if you're going to go try that game, like try something that has to do that's like, you know, a single function software or something that is instead of like multi-function, like big database stuff, like, which makes sense. I have more of a software familiarity though than I let on. I grew up, I mean, with my dad, we built 128 port network inside of our house. We literally thread Ethernet cables to our house. We have he put a big network tower together in one of the rooms in our house and there's computers all over the place. Like my dad's like one of my total heroes. And it's why I went to college was to be a programmer. And I get it. I don't have the patience for it. I have mad respect. I get the concepts behind why they work and like how, you know, I remember my first semester of college going into that stuff. And I was like, cool. But I'm realizing I just really just want to be an entrepreneur. I want to do things with the people who know how to do this. So anyway, Russell kind of dissuaded me a little at the beginning, like, hey, maybe go over here, go over there. And what he also suggested though, he's like, you know, honestly, if I was you, I would start like a newsletter where you can be teaching every month on your stuff. And I was like, cool. Like that'd be awesome. I was a head editor of yearbook in high school and I like to write. When I start writing my books, which is going to be soon, and it'll be after I do the one with Russell, which we're so excited about, the dramatic demonstration one. Like, you know, I probably won't use a ghostwriter. Like, I want to personally write my books. Obviously, there'll be editors. Of course, there will. I'm, you know, but I want to write them. I don't want someone to mess with how a sentence comes out. So, because I like that process. So I was like, yeah, that concept is really cool. First off, for those of you guys who came to Funnel Hacking Live and saw what Russell and I presented about dramatic demonstrations, that was like 4 weeks ago. I just talked to someone in the inner circle yesterday. They've already made $1 million with that formula. I cannot wait to get that formula into more hands and write that book. Holy crap. Dramatic demonstrations work. That's the fastest I've ever heard of anyone pulling that thing, like that kind of formula off. Like, but anyway, super epic. There's a point to this episode, guys. I know I've been a little bit all over the place. So just, this is very early morning rambling thoughts with Steve Larson. Welcome. So anyway, let me back up just a little bit then. Because what I'm trying to set up here is a story with this. If you've ever felt frustrated not knowing your next moves, if you've ever felt frustrated trying to figure out like, hey, what's my long-term play in game? Hey, where am I taking this thing? How does this piece that I'm learning right now relate to all these other things that I'm going towards? That's the purpose of this episode, okay? First off, welcome to being an entrepreneur. That just, you know what I mean? Like, how interesting is it that the rest of humanity who doesn't choose to be an entrepreneur, most people, they wake up, they go into a job, and somebody gives them the to-do list to get done that day, right? Very few people can hack waking up and you make your own to-do list as an entrepreneur. And that self-confidence and trust piece is one of the biggest stumbling blocks that I saw inside of the One Funnel Away Challenge. I mean, I was one of those coaches for like a year and a half. I helped bring like 50 or 60,000 people through that challenge. 50, 60,000, that's a lot of people. I saw some pretty strong patterns. It's also my superpower. With that big of a sample size, and one of the largest stumbling blocks was the inability to trust one's own next thoughts on what they should do. Like waking up and saying, this is what I'm going to go do next. Whether or not it works, like that's what the self-trust, self-safety, and knowing that it could totally fail and it's not a reflection of your self-worth, you know, that skill set of waking, that right there, that was easily one of the largest things. That was why we all thought I was going to be teaching marketing in the One Funnel Away Challenge, but I ended up teaching a lot of mindset stuff because of that, you know? So, but it's not like it's a breeze for the rest of us entrepreneurs. And sometimes not knowing where the road is taking you gets really crippling. And I just want to encourage everyone to keep going. And that's the purpose of what I'm saying this episode is, so let me keep going on the story. That's like a little mid, I'm stopping right there because I realize I should have probably teed this episode up that way with that premise. Anyway, so Russell's like, hey, like maybe think about a newsletter. And I was like, yeah, no, that sounds awesome. And for whatever reason, like there's a lot of stuff that was going on. My life was a little crazy there for like 2 years. I had to eat some humble pie. I had some growing up to do, you know, and you all know that. Someone was like, I still miss kind of hypey Steve. And I'm like, I know, I still can bring the heat. It's just from a place of love rather than total pain and chaos. Like, so, and I'm just being vulnerable. I'm super open with you guys, especially on Sales Funnel Radio, man. I'm like way, I'm just vulnerable. And if you don't like it, there's a lot of other podcasts. So I was going through that though, right? Still am. Who doesn't? You know, where you're kind of like, hey, where's this going long term? Or how do I, if you can't quite see the forest through the trees kind of a thing, you're like, how does this piece that I'm working on now relate to that over there? It was probably 3 or 4 years ago, I created the first version of teaching like my master formula and it didn't really sell. And I was like, what the heck? This is like how I create everything. It sold a little, but not that much. And this was like a year long campaign. It was 9 months. It was a 9 month long campaign that I created to go sell this thing. And I made more money during the campaign than on the sale of the thing. And I was like, that didn't work as well as I thought it would. I was like, but I know this is the formula. This is how I create everything. This is how I think about entrepreneurship. This is how what I do when I create my marketing, when I'm building the funnels. I was like, huh. And while the thing was good, the messaging was a little off. Does that make sense? So then I went back through and I did it again and I relaunched and I put stuff out there and it did much better. But still like, dang it, where's this going long term? And it was this, It's this course that I still have. It is still my favorite thing I've ever built, called Internet Launch Secrets. And it is my framework. It's my formula. I literally require, if you're going to be a marketer for me or any, like, you have to go through that, and that's what you're following. Like, it is, I am so strict on that process. It's how I consult people. It's how I think about when someone's asking me a question. Hey, Steve, what about this or that? I'm going back to my framework that I've just molded over the years. It's my master thing. And so I've been like, man, how do I go make this thing? You know, how do I put this out there? Which can be a little bit disconcerting. Like, it can jack you up a little mentally, you know? I mean, ClickFunnels was almost an abandoned project. They, you know, amazing product. Took them 6 or 7 times to try to figure out the messaging that sold the thing, you know? And a lot of you have a great thing, and you're like, how does it sell? Like, and that's just part of the game. Building a cool offer is the beginning of the work. All right, you didn't end anything. I got a cool offer. Sweet. Now you're going to figure out messaging. I figured out messaging. Cool. Now you're going to figure out a hook. I got a cool hook. Sweet. Now you're going to figure out the funnel and the campaign that gets traffic to the funnel. You know what I mean? And like, I figured out the campaign and the traffic into the funnel. Sweet. Now you're going to figure out automation. I figured out automation. Now you're going to actually build a business, because funnels aren't companies, right? They're just a revenue arm. So, I mean, the game just steps one by one by one. There's a point to all this. So all these pieces have been sitting at my feet, and I'm like, how do they fit together? They're all good pieces. I sat down to write out what topics that I would want to write books on. I wrote 12 ideas. They're easily 12 different ideas. I was like, oh, crap. I got a lot to say. I got a lot.
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off? And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, what do you mean? He repeated the question and said, well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad. I said, wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent? I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, we've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all. My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing, the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and managed the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go higher, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode.
I have to write about, where does that fit? Holy smokes, people have been asking me for a mastermind for, years. And I don't have one. And I was like, because it hasn't felt time yet. And that's enough reason for me to not do it. And so in the last month, and even up to last night, which is why I really think I've had a tough time sleeping last night, like, they all snapped together. All the pieces came together in this beautiful collage. And I was like, holy crap. And it's simple. Simple is always best, right? It's simple, simple, simple. And I'm looking at this thing, you know, in my head. And then I start drawing it out and I start putting it together. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is what the newsletter is. And this is the course that goes into that. this is the book that I already have that I kind of forgot about, right? That leads into the newsletter. This is where the mastermind will be. Business right there. And I have created more than I forget how much I've made. And in one storyline, all the products fit together in one elegant, progression from, hey, you have this problem? Cool. Now this next piece is what's coming in. I gotta tell you, it was last night. It all clicked. And someone taught me once that revelation is not a light switch. You know, you don't walk up to a light switch. You don't get ideas like turning on a light switch. Hey, it's a dark room. I need to have all of the answers right now. You know, that's what people would say all the time, especially in the One Phone Away Challenge. They'd be like, well, what are the rest of the secrets? You know, what are you talking about? If you have a problem in your life, answering it rarely ever is the same as turning on a light where you're like, you know, what are all the answers at once? Click! And then it's suddenly light and you can see everything in the room. That's not really how it works. It's more like a sunrise. Slow light over time. Objects begin to appear, but they're not in focus. The sun continues to rise and suddenly more and more detail comes up. And then as the sun continues to rise, now the shadows start to make more sense and they're moving, but it's not even till really noon that you can see all the pieces and how they fit. And that is so spot on to how entrepreneurship really is done. And when you have something that you're really actually creating and birthing, the creation is like that. And it's frustrating. And there's always this storm that you got to wade through, you know? And I would tell you that the last month of my life has been a little bit emotionally chaotic, meaning I don't mean I've been an unstable dude. What I mean is I've been wallowing in that whole but how do the pieces fit together? You know, oh my gosh, what is this? What is the continuity, right? Why did I make that product? Was that just for nothing? How come I shut down 52 things, right? Where, you know what I'm saying? All these questions. And I certainly have those internal thoughts and dialogues. And I remember the first time someone was like, you second guess yourself sometimes too? I was like, yeah, I got blood in my veins also. I'm just a dude. All right. So I'm just trying to explain that whatever you are doing and whatever you're trying to put together, if you're like, I know I'm working on the right topics. I know that I'm putting the correct stuff together. I know that I'm doing well for my customers. But where is this end goal heading? Just stick with it. This is 100% a faith-based game. You will not have all the answers at the trailhead. You got to climb the trail, right? You got to walk the trail. And I did a 3-week backpacking trip when I was a kid. I freaking loved it so much. I did another 2-week one. I did lots of 1-week ones. I love backpacking, but it's a little bit like saying, I want the entire trip and all the experiences, the times you stub your toe, when someone gets a little bit hurt, or when everyone's laughing and you're all tired, or when you're realizing, oh crap, I'm packing a food, I'm going to go through a little bit of hunger here, right? Or it's like expecting to go through all the memories, sweet and not sweet, at the same time before you'll ever take a step on a trail, and you're just standing at a trailhead. And you're like, or not even packing your backpack, right? Hey, I'm not going to pack this thing until I know what's going to happen on mile 17. Exactly. It just doesn't work like that. It just doesn't, right? You can't even see that step. The trail winds. It's 3,000 feet elevation up. You can't see it, right? And so it's what you do is you take action on the things that are in front of you and you can see the peak. You can't see any of really the trail. You can see 15 steps into the trailhead, into the forest. That's it. And so this self-internal confidence piece is really what I think new entrepreneurs have a tough time with, because they don't realize that that is not just part of the game. It really is the game. You're I'm going to start taking a lot of steps here and I don't really know where this is all going to go. And then at the end of the trail, you're like, man, I see all the pieces fit together. Man, that was crazy when XYZ happened, but I figured it out. Right? And just knowing that you will figure it out is, I think, one of the best things you can ever do for yourself. So that's really what I wanted to share with you guys. So I've had a specific newsletter idea. In fact, a while ago, I actually started on a newsletter with someone. It's really cool. Didn't end up putting it out. I've had the newsletter idea, very unique, highly valuable, super excited about that. That'll be fun. I got to chat face-to-face with Sam Ovens, who taught me a lot about his cool mastermind model. Talked with a lot of others about theirs. Like, I'm excited for that. And this stuff will come in time. I'm not announcing them right now. All I'm trying to say is, like, there's certain pieces and things that I've been, like, I haven't felt the go-ahead on. And it's been frustrating as I'm like, why can't I start on this yet? Like, let's go. People are asking for it. Like, this would be cool. Steven, how come you've not written books yet? You know? And how come you even put these, and what I've been doing is my homework. You know, I've been preparing. I've been packing my backpack. I've been learning enough of the map that I need to know. I've been putting together my resources and now I finally feel like there's this extremely simple, highly valuable business model using this whole linchpin concept that Russell's been talking about. And these pieces fit together and the themes of what I've created fit in a flow that is just, I couldn't have designed that from the beginning. There's no way I would have known to put them together how they're coming together. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. So I'm jacked. I'm like, there's this breath of life, just, you know, super cool. And what Marley and I are doing with YouTube Lead Machine has been so fun. And how does that fit into it? You know, I'm like, what about the long-term play? That was one of my asks yesterday in the mastermind. I was like, hey, what do you guys see me, just for you guys to know, like, long-term play? We get really vulnerable with each other. We're like, hey, here's where I'm winning. Hey, here's where I'm sucking. You know what I mean? Like, that's why masterminds work. You don't go in there trying to be like all showboaty, like you got it all together. That's when masterminds suck. You got to get in there and be open, right? Be super vulnerable. So mine, I was vulnerable. I was like, hey, what do you guys see me doing like long-term? I've thought very much mergers and acquisitions. I love that topic. I've thought, you know, am I doing the Robert Kiyosaki model where you sell info products to fuel real estate? That's totally what Grant Cardone does also, right? Am I going to do I'm like, where's the long-term play with that? And how does the phone sales model fit? How does the, right? Bam, just all fell in place. It's been like a, you know, multi-year pursuit. It's funny, yesterday when, you know, Russell called the facilitators to the stage. So I didn't know he was going to bring us up one on time. I thought we were all getting on stage. So I just walked on stage, felt like an idiot. And he's like, Steve's first, I guess. I was like, crap. Oh, dang it. But we all start breaking up to go into our facilitator rooms and everyone's getting up to leave and move over and all that. And I leaned over and I was like, dude, I think I'm like having a ton of epiphanies on the next moves. It's frustrating though, like figuring out where your long-term jam is on that. And he's like, yeah, you know, it takes a long time. It just does, you know, to figure that out. And you know, he was 13 years into entrepreneurship or 12 or something like that. It's 12 years, something like that. Before he ever had the idea of ClickFunnels. Like, think about that. How long have you been at the game? How long have you been really, truly at the game? 12 years in. You know, how many times are you going to swing? I love the book from Seth Godin called The Dip. It's funny I just brought that up. People are like, you need to look at yourself like Seth Godin. That's what you need to do. Like, go after that. Like, you're a business philosophizer. Anyway, in the book The Dip by Seth Godin, he talks about how the companies that, even just individuals, he said, hey, the individuals that go places in their life simply endure more low points than others. That's it. Right. And every time, like he uses an example of, I think, skiing in it. If you've not read the book, The Dip, it's super great. And he's like, hey, look, the dip is a principle that everybody goes through. You want to know why Olympians become Olympians? They simply endured more dips than those that didn't. They just endured them. It's not even that they have to be 1,000 times better. He said, if you're going to go ski, getting the fundamentals down of skiing, most of the population can kind of get it down on their first few rounds. You know, confidence is another thing with that. But, you know, the skills, like if you're going to go start skiing, you get a little bit good at skiing. It's not hard to pick up skiing just a little bit, right? And but then you picked up all the easy skill sets and your growth in skiing really stops. And you hit a plateau and you're like, I don't think I'm improving on my skiing. And you're totally plateauing. And you're not getting any more skills. You're not getting better at it. You're not growing in it. And there's a long time that that happens. And people kind of wash out. They're like, yeah, I did skiing for a while. It's awesome. And it's a long time sometimes before that next growth, you know, ascent happens. And then guess what? Another dip and no growth. And you feel like you're not going anywhere. And you feel like you're like, why am I doing this? And what was the good? Why did I think this was a great idea? Right. And you are in a dip and you're just in a plateau. You're not going anywhere. And you're like, ah, crap. Like, how come I'm not growing? How come I'm not growing? How come I'm not growing? Why isn't it working? Right. And think about this from a like entrepreneurial business sense. It's exactly what I'm talking about. Like, oh man, how come, where's this fit? Where's this fit? How come it's not working? Where you're just in a dip. And those who win are just been in dips and endure them better than those who don't. And the dip is often what washes out all the non-believers. You know what I mean? Like the people who truly aren't going to want to do it anyway. So just ask yourself, like, if you're going to be doing this long-term, how many dips are you going to endure? How long are you going to do that? Because the longer you go with it, the more puzzle pieces start to fit themselves together for you. It's like things begin to conspire for your sake if you simply can demonstrate that you will continue to show up to the plate and just swing. And I'm seeing more and more how this is beginning to happen. And I'm not going to go build all that at once. That'd be crazy. But I can see a roadmap and I'm like, huh, that's where I'm going to go. I'll probably start with the newsletter. And people were saying yesterday to call it like the capitalist newsletter, but it's too broad. So I need to come up with a naming matters a lot. So I'm going to do all my formulas on my own self, which is what I do, and go to my own frameworks and start doing them for my own stuff. Again, it's what I do every single project. And start coming up with for that piece of it. But it'll be a slow process that I take time to master and meticulously just have to become very, very systems focused. So, okay, what's the system for selling? Cool, a funnel. But then what's the system for the business and all the automation? And who am I going to have to hire? And what tools are going to be needed? What's the process behind that? And I design that like a funnel. I draw it all out. And I'll get very detailed on that whole piece. And I'll slowly start to release and then test and then test and then test, right? And then once it's like running and working and optimizing, I'll optimize probably twice and then I'm going to the next thing, all right? Then I'll lead that into the next piece. So anyway, I hope that episode made sense, but I just wanted to just also reaffirm that everybody goes through it and you're not crazy for going for this and you're not crazy if it's not working. You might just be in a dip and you're trying to figure out the pieces and just endure, you know. And it's one of the reasons why it's important to be around a good crew and other people who think like you, because it's hard sometimes. So you guys got this game. Keep going at it. So appreciative of all of you guys following. This episode is probably like, I don't know, coming up on 400, which is nuts. It's been fun to see the episodes as they've come. It's episode that, well, coming up on 400-ish for the show, but it's probably like my near 600, because I had two other shows. Oh, three. Forgot about the other one. And I've closed pretty much all of them. There'll be one other we put out for another company at some point. But anyway, you guys are awesome. Thanks for sticking with me on this. And if you could rate the show, share, subscribe with it, that'd be awesome. And excited to take this show also to a new level and show you guys what I'm going to do with it. So you guys are amazing.
Hey, thanks for listening. Be sure to download all 300 episodes from season one, which documented my journey from literally zero to my first 5 million. To easily download season one, just go to salesfunnelradio.com and enter your email. It'll actually pop up in the email that you put in there. You can also see a link to interview me or work with me or even record your own questions for the show. Again, just go to salesfunnelradio.com, subscribe to the newsletter, and then the download link for season one, it actually comes as an audiobook, will be in your email for free.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.